How about Kyle Chandler talking to Maddie, his daughter, and be like, that podcast fills your head with garbage. You should be in school. Thanks, Kyle. Kyle would hate Podzilla. And that's a realization I've had to come to.
Oh.
And it makes
me... Oh, shoot. You're right.
It makes me upset.
Bernie would love us, though.
Welcome back, one and all, to another episode of Podzilla. I am Jaisha.
Not Gia.
No, I'm not Gia. I'm not a little deaf girl. My name is Jaisha.
And I'm Micah, leader of the Kong faction, known as My Kong, the best faction in the Discord server.
We all know Team Godzilla is the best team because Godzilla is the best titan.
You know what? You're going to have to face the consequences for saying that.
To those unaware, our Discord server, the Podzilla Monster Island Discord server, which you can join via the link in the show notes, has been in disarray for the last week. It has been a war zone.
Mm.
Two sides have factioned off.
Yeah. There's been a chasm that has separated each and every member.
And I don't know if Podzilla will ever recover. There's Team Kong, Team Godzilla. We've been going head to head for the past few days.
How many members does Team Godzilla have?
I think it must be up to like 40 now.
I think Team Kong has 15.
Makes you think.
For a Godzilla server, the fact that there's like nearly 2-to-1 ratio just goes to show how Kong can win you over. Even the best of people know their place.
We were actually, guys, we were prepping a Godzilla versus Kong rap. Me and Micah were going to do on the show right now in this episode. Mm. We started prepping it. My bars were spitting.
Spitting with an N and an apostrophe.
Yeah, they were spitting. But then the people behind Epic Rap Battles of History, not 2 days ago, released a Godzilla vs. Kong rap. And it would have been shameful for us to try and measure
I haven't
up.
Even listened to it. The thumbnail put me off. They had this like nice model for Godzilla.
Heisei Godzilla.
Yep. And then this just absolute dumpster looking Kong.
And then a generic giant ape makes you think about Kong.
Kong is so much more than just a generic giant ape.
They made the right decision.
Don't even.
Anyway, yeah, welcome back to Podzilla. This is a show where we talk about every single movie, show, comic book over on our Patreon, anything related or to do with Godzilla in a weird and wonderful way. And today we're talking about Godzilla versus Kong. Came out 2021. And Micah, that's crazy that we're up to this point because Podzilla started in 2021.
Yes.
We recorded our first episode in May 2021.
Well, it was just after this came out, is that right?
This came out the very end of March. So it's just over a month between this coming out and the first episode of Podzilla being recorded. And I was on a like 3-hour drive for work last week and I was like, hey, it's time to revisit our older episodes that we recorded 3-4 years ago. I don't know how we have any listeners to the show. Listening back to these episodes, the sound quality, I don't know what's going on. Our voices? Have we matured so much in three years?
You can actually tell us apart now?
That remains to be seen. But we've changed so much of a show as a show since then. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone that has stuck with us, listened to us since we did Godzilla Raids Again, and then Half Human as our first three episodes.
Oh my gosh.
What a sprint. What a banging
followed
three
up ifs. Shortly by the Americanization of Godzilla and the Americanization of Half Human.
And the Americanization of Varan.
Wow. What a run.
But we had listeners.
We played the long
then.
Game. We were smart about it.
We were smart. And yeah, 2024 now, and we are nearly completely up to date with Godzilla. So it's been a journey. It's been real cool to have you guys listening along, joining our community. And yeah, just want to say a big old thank you. Should we go straight into the episode, Micah? Because surely nothing has happened of note to cover in mega news law.
Oh boy, Jaisha, do you know what? This is a Podzilla first. There's no news.
Whoa.
Take the news out of Mega News Lawn. Today we are just Megalon.
Megalon.
Megalon's first appearance on Podzilla. And we're glad to have him.
I'm going to put this as a chapter. I'm actually going to segment this Megalon.
Great.
First appearance of this segment. You didn't want to talk about the Godzilla X Kong McDonald's burgers that have been revealed?
When are we ever going to have these?
In Malaysia?
I don't know, because it didn't strike me as newsworthy.
Scar King fries? What do you think those bad boys taste like?
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I am now the vetter for the news here.
Okay.
The things I vet, I have a strict criteria. Scar King fries.
Regular Steve Martin over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a journalist now.
If it was a Godzilla X Kong Pepsi.
Oh, if it were a Godzilla X Kong Pepsi? Not Godzilla Pepsi. X Kong Boss. Even.
No.
That would be worth it.
Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper.
Not today. News free. It's a slow news day here.
Yeah, it's a slow news day over here, but it's a big, big episode day. Big movie, Godzilla vs. Kong. I saw this in theaters 2021. I think it's what inspired us in some weird and wonderful way, yeah, to get back into Godzilla and to start the Podzilla podcast.
You can't say it inspired us. I didn't see it.
It inspired me.
It inspired you.
To talk to you.
To inspire me.
There we go. This is the first time Mike is watching it, and this is the most recent MonsterVerse movie until next month, where the new one will come out. Should we just get straight into it? We've got a lot to discuss.
Bring us in.
The year is 2024, and Godzilla is kicking back and enjoying his reign as King of the Monsters after defeating King Ghidorah. Kong is also kicking back, scratching his bud and chucking tree trunks into the sky as the undefeated king of Skull Island. But things aren't peaceful for long, as something makes Godzilla attack and destroy Apex Cybernetics' laboratory, and Apex Cybernetics subsequently come up with a harebrained scheme to remove Kong from Skull Island and follow him deep into the Hollow Earth, where they hope to find an unlimited energy source for a new bit of technology they're working on. Spoiler alert, it's Mechagodzilla. And not only that, but Mechagodzilla is powered using the son of Serizawa and some weird bone marrow DNA from King Ghidorah himself? Anyway, a bunch of scientists and the last remaining Iwi girl follow Kong through the Hollow Earth, where the ape finds a throne room containing a pretty cool little axe. And, at the same time, a bunch of podcast-loving nerds sneak into Apex's top-secret Mechagodzilla base. Godzilla and Kong go head-to-head a few times, Godzilla obviously being the more powerful king, before they both team up to take down Mechagodzilla, who is kind of just defeated by the podcast dweebs as they spill whiskey on the control desk. Whoops. Anywho, the two kings become best buds, Godzilla swims off into the sunrise, and the surviving citizens of Hong Kong will be mourning for their lost loved ones for years, as they remember the day that Godzilla versed Kong.
You were so close to a title drop there.
Godzilla, they'll remember the days that Godzilla versus Kong. They'll remember those days, weeks even, where Godzilla versus Kong. They will be envisioning.
They'll remember the moments.
Yeah, go on.
Wait.
There's no way to.
And they
no
will
to
remember the events of that morning when Godzilla versus Kong.
They will remember the newspaper headline. From the
they'll
day
remember
afterwards.
When their friends say the statement, wait, does Godzilla versus Kong? No, technically it's verse. No.
How would you say the title? It's Godzilla versus Kong.
Godzilla vs. Kong.
Godzilla vs. Kong.
I haven't heard anybody covering that movie before.
No, we're the
That's
first.
All we're here for.
Yeah. Micah, Godzilla vs. Kong. Verse. Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah. What did I know about it beforehand?
Yeah, what did you know about this movie? You knew Mechagodzilla was in it.
I knew Mechagodzilla was here.
Yeah.
Because I have... I have a pop vinyl of this guy.
Yeah, I bought it for you.
You bought it for me. Good pop vinyl. No, when this movie first came out, I tried to stay as blind as possible to who the victor was here.
Mm.
I thought it might be Godzilla. I thought it might be Kong. And I knew I'd eventually see this movie. Little did I know it would be on this podcast. But then I also, found out that Mechagodzilla was in it. And ever since then, I was under the impression that there was no definitive winner, that Godzilla and Kong were close to the end of their battle when Mechagodzilla came in right at the end.
Yeah.
So straight off the bat, I was kind of surprised that this movie does have a decisive winner.
Yeah, man.
Godzilla wins.
Twice, I would say.
Well, no, Kong outsmarts him the first time.
No, he does not. Kong is nearly drowning as Godzilla pulls him under the ocean before the pesky little humans help him out, drop some depth charges, free Kong from Godzilla's tail.
And Godzilla doesn't go in for a killing blow. Sounds like a loss to me.
Okay.
Hashtag Team Kong.
It is an interesting way for the movie to go, because a lot of our issues with Godzilla, King of the Monsters, was the bloated cast of characters.
Bloated cast of characters where a lot of them were played off for comedy.
And it kept cutting back to them.
Yeah.
And in this one, there are still quite a few characters, but I feel like there were definitely fewer that were in Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a really interesting thing where the two kind of human storylines in this were either the Team Godzilla storyline or the Team Kong storyline. You have Team Kong, who is our new main character, Dr. Nathan Lind, played by Alexander Skarsgård.
Nathan Lind.
And you also have Dr. Eileen Andrews, played by Rebecca Hall. I love Rebecca Hall. I think she's an amazing actress. Cool to have her in a Godzilla movie.
I've never seen her. Oh, I've seen her in something before, but I didn't recognize her, but I really loved her performance here.
And we had Kaylee Hottle as Gia. That's kind of our Team Kong.
And real quick, I'd just like each and every one of you to go onto IMDb right now.
Okay.
And just look at Alexander Skarsgård, his profile picture.
Is it him in his underwear?
Yeah.
Iconic. The thing is, you pay for your own IMDb Pro subscription. So Alex is paying for this, and you get to upload and choose what your headshot is.
Is that true?
Yeah, and he just chose a full body shot of him with a tuxedo top, no bottoms.
And if that doesn't go to show you what kind of guy Alexander Skarsgård is, what does?
I mean, he's fully naked in the conclusion of The Northman too, isn't he?
Yeah, but you see like little smoke tendrils. He's just covering everything up.
Like showing off his legs. Like showing off those legs.
I've got to say his legs.
Alexander Skarsgård's legs.
Instead of rating the movie, can we rate this guy?
Mike, who's your favorite Skarsgård?
Probably him, honestly.
I like Stellan. Stellan Skarsgård.
Is he the dad?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Those eye knee tattoos he has in Mamma Mia. Stellan's legs.
But anyway, can we rank the Skarsgård family's legs?
Just by their legs. Yeah, we've got Team Kong, which is Dr. Nathan Lind, Eileen Andrews, Gia, and then we've got...
Oh, and you have like the Baby Driver girl as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've got Team Kong, you've got Team Godzilla, who is Brian Tyree Henry playing Bernie Hayes. You've got the return of Millie Bobby Brown as Maddie Russell. You've got Julian Dennison, Micah. Fellow Kiwi.
Josh Valentine.
He's playing Josh Valentine. Finally,
what kind of
Kiwi
name is Josh Valentine? It's an epic one for an epic guy.
We're getting Kiwi representation in the Godzilla universe.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first time?
Finally. We've had New Zealand name dropped a few times, but not true blooded.
Not an honest to good Kiwi.
Yeah. Our sister's seen him in the flesh.
Yeah.
Mm.
I was a day off missing him.
You were a day off meeting.
He was at a beach.
Josh Valentine.
At a camp. Yeah.
Man, missed opportunity. Yeah, you got them as Team Godzilla, and then you've kind of got the Apex people, right? Which is Walter Simmons, the head of Apex. You've got Ren Serizawa, Serizawa's son.
Whoa.
And then you've also got Maya Simmons, who is Walter Simmons' daughter.
And you also have, off to the side, Kyle Chandler returning as Mark Russell.
Mm.
And then Lance Reddick playing Gearman.
Yeah, and you probably have this in your trivia, right?
Yes. So no need to talk about it now.
We won't talk
about
it.
You're depriving me of content if you do.
Okay, I won't deprive you of content, but they had more characters, which we'll get into later, that they culled down and cut out of the film just to focus on Team Godzilla and Team Kong.
Yeah, can we cull down and cut this part out of the episode? Because you're spoiling my segment.
What did you think of these characters and these plot lines? You've got Team Kong, who are taking Kong off Skull Island, going into the Hollow Earth and following Kong there as he finds out a bit about his home.
Yeah, Team Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. No, in all honesty, I really loved him. I feel like even though he wasn't a super duper strong protagonist, Nathan Lynn was still a real likable character.
Yeah, because what is he? He's like an ex-member of Monarch turned Hollow Earth theorist and author.
Yeah.
And his brother died also trying to get to the Hollow Earth.
I think his wife.
One or the other.
Oh, sorry, that might just be a deleted scene. We'll talk about it later.
Hey, cut and cow down on this, please.
If you want an appointment, my office hours are 9 to 5.
Please, maybe Dr. Lind.
What the?
Guys like you and me, we don't do normal hours, do we? I've been fixated on Hollow Earth for as long as you have. Your theory that it's the birthplace of all Titans is fascinating.
Your book was very impressive.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got about 30 unsold boxes in my apartment if you want some.
But no, Rebecca Hall and Kaylee Hoddle as well. They're like the standouts of this film for me.
They are a big connection to Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gia Kaylee Hoddle, she's like my favorite Monsterverse character now.
The last remaining Iwi. All the Iwi have just been killed off screen.
Yeah. I feel like she's the heart and soul of this movie. The fact that she, is like the last Iwi, she has a great connection to Kong, and she's kind of that stand-in for what we've usually seen as the I don't know what you'd call them, like the heroine, the blonde, that Kong feels attracted to in all these movies.
That's something I really like about this movie is it still continues to adapt some of the classic Kong story. We get, of course, Kong leaving Skull Island to the big city.
On his boat.
Happens in this one, happens in a lot of those old school Kong movies, the original. And we do have him connecting with a human. And in the old movies, it was Ann Darrow. And now it's Gia, who's the last remaining Iwi. And I love this connection they have. She's the last one from the Iwi tribe. He's the last remaining of his Kong family. And they're both leaving their home, and they've only really got each other. And it's so cool that she's taught Kong how to speak sign language.
Yeah, that's great.
What a cool thing to have in the movie, Kong actually being able to communicate with the humans.
Because he has shown that there's one instance in the Peter Jackson King Kong movie where Anne teaches him the word for beautiful.
Yeah, I think you're right.
When you're looking at a horizon, and then it's like the last thing he does when he's on top of the tower at the end of the movie. But seeing it as like a fully fleshed out plot point here where Kong can actually communicate with humans is just a fantastic way to like push that. What am I saying?
Connect him with the human characters and I guess make him stand out from Godzilla in that way, because Kong has always been... He's always been interested in and had that connection with humans. He's got a lot of humanity to him.
It's a fantastic way to like further the ideas that were presented in these past movies and do what any interpretation and adaptation of an already established movie should do and reinterpret those ideas.
Yeah, I think they did it in a really cool way.
And I think it's a great way to like separate the Monsterverse iteration of Kong with all the others.
Mm. I felt bad for Kong in this movie because he's got free reign.
Don't feel bad because he...
No.
If anyone should feel bad, it's Godzilla.
No, when we last saw him, he had free reign of Skull Island. He was the king of Skull Island. Monarch have just set up this tiny little dome on Skull Island.
Mm.
Every day he's waking up, having a bath.
Scratching his butt.
Then trying to free himself from this dome. You see like all these holes that he's made.
He's a man with a plan.
In tree trunks. And they're just okay with leaving him there?
Yeah.
Give him the rest of the island.
He's working on the Great Ape Escape.
But I think Monarch's whole thing is you're wanting to hide him from Godzilla, right? And they don't want to let him out into the world. They don't know what Godzilla would do if the two ever met.
Yeah. So it's a little containment facility. It's a cool idea, and it's a nice little reveal from the start of the movie where you think he's still on Skull Island. You see one of the Iwi come on, and then bing, bang, boom, Monarch is once again screwing things up. I think it's a little more understandable this time because the actual island has been real stormy, I think they said.
The Iwi died somehow, right? So
through storms.
Yeah.
But floods. It's cool to see him bigger. Bigger and better.
He's got a bit of a beard.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of facial hair. I like throughout these Kong MonsterVerse movies and shows, he's physically like growing up in stature and with facial hair.
Yeah.
You jealous?
Of this guy's facial hair?
Yeah.
Nah. In the new empire, his facial hair? Maybe. Maybe.
And I guess with the Kong storyline, the big thing that happens is Kong goes to the Hollow Earth. They have this entrance to the Hollow Earth. They are unearthed in Antarctica.
Yeah, and it's them believing that this is where Kong's ancestors once came from and that his family might be down here again, and they want to hopefully reunite Kong with his family. Well, and provide like a new Skull Island for him, a new home.
That's kind of what they're telling themselves. But Apex is funding the whole thing with their heaves, and they just want the power source.
Now we know our heaves.
The heaves.
Yeah,
you know the heave from Minecraft, Micah.
I've ridden in a heave before, and I've taken some good photos of Kong's butt while he's been sleeping. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I remember. I love the Hollow Earth stuff. I think the Hollow Earth stuff in this movie is some of the coolest visuals. They do this real 2001 Space Odyssey thing when they're going through the portal through to the Hollow Earth dimension.
The dimension? Yeah, because in the past, in the other movies, we thought it was just caves, just tunnels.
Yeah.
And slowly it's morphed into this idea that's like maybe there's some other like quantum nature to it, and I think that goes even further in the Monarch show, but you fully see portals here.
Yeah,
and it looks fantastic
because I think it's said in this specifically that the Hollow Earth is just like a big Skull Island, and Skull Island, the small island that it was just the Hollow Earth spreading out into the surface. Yeah,
it's like Hollow Earth leakage.
Yeah, because Hollow Earth, that's where Kong's family came from. That's where I think Skull Crawlers came from, and a whole lot of other monsters that we catch glimpses of. What do you think of Doug, Micah?
Oh,
Titanus Doug.
Titanus Doug is good. Don't know how he became such a meme.
We see Doug for 2 seconds as he bites onto a crab.
I like the crabs.
Yeah?
I like the... What can I say? I like the crabs.
Michael likes his crabs.
What can I say? I like the crabs.
The rock critters?
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Man, give me a solo rock critter movie.
I genuinely do not know how Doug became such a meme. So much so that he's in the next movie and his name is Doug.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a mystery.
He's supposed to be, or it's referenced, I think, in the audio description.
The
audio description for the scene he's in.
Like closed captions.
I think so. He's called a photodon.
Okay.
And that's what the like big crocodile-like monsters were in Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
So it'll be interesting whether he is someone like that or whether he is just...
He's a Titanus Doug.
He's Doug.
I'm worried that in the new movie they're going to... Are they going to like reference Brian's character?
Brian, yeah.
I'm calling it he's going to be the one to name him Doug.
Bernie's going to
name him Doug.
Release a new episode of his podcast and be like, hey guys.
It's like people have been calling him Doug and just making jokes that he's...
Yeah. I put a poll out to all my patrons of the Titan Truth podcast. They decided on Doug.
So not a photodon, Doug. Titanus Doug.
The Hollow Earth stuff's so cool. Kong falls through the sky. The heave falls through the sky. Gravity's going all wacky. And straight away, he meets these warbats, I think they're called, these giant flying serpentine creatures that nearly kill him. They're choking him out with their wings and suffocating him.
If it weren't for the heave, he would have brought back the fight at the last second, because he's that strong that he's not going to get taken down by one of these rat bats. Nothing can take the king down.
And then he rips like one of their heads off eventually, right?
Yeah, with no help from the humans, because he is that powerful.
We got the Hellhawks in the Hollow Earth, these bird-looking, terrifying creatures.
Ain't got nothing on Kong.
They turn their head towards Nathan, these giant turkey things.
Yeah, I remember these.
Scariest thing in the movie. And yeah, Kong finds a big kind of room?
It's like a chamber.
A chamber?
Huge chamber with a throne, yep. And... what is it? He finds this big axe, which is like his scepter, his weapon for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Which seems to have some sort of scale on it. And we are led to believe that it is from one of the old Godzillas.
Yeah, the old Godzilla creatures. It's a scoot, a single scoot.
I thought that prior to Podzilla Micah, he thought that Kong ripped off a Godzilla scale in this movie.
That would have been pretty
cool. I was waiting for that moment, and I thought it was going to be so epic. And I'm so sad we didn't get to see
pre-unscooted
Kong rip off a scoot.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are like Godzilla murals down there. Seems like quite a few of those scale axes. But then Apex Legends comes along, and they find a way to like steal and transmit the energy to the surface. And that's finally what they use to power what we find out is Mechagodzilla.
My apologies. You go.
No, my apologies.
I'll take a step back. I'm putting the mic down.
Go for it. I was going to take us up to Team Godzilla, but if you want to stay on Team Kong for a little bit longer,
I have a good bridge. I have a good bridge towards the two.
Yeah.
My single favorite moment in the whole movie is when Godzilla uses his atomic breath to drill through the whole earth into the hollow earth.
The whole earth into the hollow earth.
And Kong and Godzilla peer at each other through this huge hole through the whole entire world.
It's great. It doesn't make sense, the fact that they had to go through a portal to get there, and then Godzilla just... For the amount of time that he let off his atomic breath for, that would have nuked all of China.
Hong Kong is gone after this movie, and we'll get to it. But
from the pure radiation of that alone.
But Kong is looking through the world at Godzilla, and let's go back, and you can tell us about what Team Godzilla has been doing, Micah.
Yeah, so we have everybody's favorite Godzilla fanatic, Kyle Chandler, who is not really caring about Godzilla anymore. But you know who is?
Mm.
It's little Maddie from our first movie.
Yeah, she's emo.
She looks like she does in that one episode of Stranger Things season 2 that was meant to be a spinoff for a different show.
When she finds the other telekinetics.
Yeah. But she's got her hair in a ponytail. She has emo eyeshadow makeup. She has, I don't know, she looks exactly the same as she does there.
She's into podcasts. Very emo thing.
Yeah, she takes like a huge turn in character, I feel, from the first movie where, yeah, she's become fanatical about Brian and Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie's character is this guy who has worked his way up through Monarch for the pure reason of revealing its secrets on his podcast, Titan Truth, the Titan Truth podcast.
I can't believe that nobody expects that Bernie is the one.
There's a lot of comedy.
Exploiting these secrets of his.
There's a lot of comedy with Bernie, which I personally really appreciated. How about Kyle Chandler talking to Maddie, his daughter, and be like, that podcast fills your head with garbage. You should be in school. Thanks, Kyle. Kyle would hate Podzilla. And that's a realization I've had to come to.
Oh.
And it makes
me. Oh, shoot. You're right.
It makes me upset.
Bernie would love us, though. But that's not all, because we have Julian Dennison, Josh Valentine coming in as that final member.
Maddie's friend.
Yeah, what does he bring to the table? He's got his van.
He's a hacker. He took one single HTML course. He pirates movies. He knows his way around computers, Micah.
Yes. Yes, he does.
He's got a good attitude.
And he knows how to bribe dairy owners.
Yeah, this is the kind of comedy I loved. Is Maddie and what's his name? Valentine. Josh. Maddie and Josh driving around looking for Bernie. They have to buy a live fish. There's a shopkeeper who's like, I'll tell you Bernie's dress if you buy that live fish over there. They buy a live fish. They figure out that Bernie like showers himself with bleach, and that's how they track down where.
So they track down the bleach.
The bleach that he showers with. And then when they
who's
meet Bernie.
So much bleach. Like, which there's no way you can track down someone by trying to find out who's buying the bleach.
He goes for a lot of bleach.
There'd be companies that buy more bleach than a single person does.
Maddie's smart. Josh is a hacker.
You can't tell me that Brian is showering more than once a day with bleach.
He's a germaphobe. We introduced to him with like him offering someone hand sanitizer.
Isn't bleach like super toxic to your skin?
I don't know if you should shower with bleach.
Hold up.
I think it would kill you if you showered.
I'm going to do some live Podzilla research.
Regularly with bleach, you would have no skin.
Can you shower in bleach?
You would have zero skin on your
if
bones.
If properly diluted, a bleach bath is safe for children and adults.
There we go. He's diluting that bleach.
If properly diluted. I don't think he's the kind of guy to dilute bleach.
Should we be showering in bleach? Micah.
Should we try shower for a week in bleach? Should we try shower?
Micah, I've got an important question for you. Tap or no tap?
Tap or no tap?
Yeah.
Tap.
That makes me sick. Shows why you're Team Kong drinking from the tap. Oh my goodness. There's a bit of comedy with them, and I really liked their dynamic initially.
Bernie?
Mr. Bernie, not all.
Yep, that was definitely Mr. Bernie.
Yeah, Hi. Listen, we want to talk about Apex and Godzilla.
No, I lost your faces. I contact authorities, yes.
For knocking on a door.
No.
Bernie, you don't trust the authorities. My name is Madison Russell. My father works for Monarch and my mother was...
Emma Russell, right?
They kind of just... They're doing nothing.
Yeah. I feel like every scene with them is just stuff happening to them.
Yeah, they find
and
they're
making
eggs.
Jokes at that.
They sneak into Apex. They get accidentally taken away.
Yeah, they see some Skullcrawler eggs, and they end up going to the Mechagodzilla base, not because of anything they did. It's because they walked into a room and they found out it was a Heave aircraft.
Mm. But they are the ones who eventually, at the very end, like they're the ones who save the day.
Yeah,
they put the whiskey. In the
because
console.
It short circuits.
It makes Mechagodzilla stutter just for a bit. That's enough time for Kong to get in there.
I think that was the big thing for me is that these guys aren't even Team Godzilla. They're Team Mechagodzilla. They're not trying to do anything to do with Godzilla. They're trying to track down why Godzilla was going after Apex.
What did you feel like overall this should have been called Godzilla versus Kong?
Ooh.
Because... clearly, there's a lot more emphasis put on Kong. I mean, we only have seen Kong in Kong Skull Island. This is his second appearance. We already saw Godzilla in Godzilla and Godzilla King of the Monsters. We've seen a lot more of him. He's had a lot more of an arc.
Mm. Yeah, you don't need to build him up as much.
No. So he kind of takes a back seat in this, right?
Yeah,
it does start with him attacking an Apex lab, which is a scene I loved. I love the destruction and fight scenes in this movie.
Yeah, seeing Godzilla go full ham.
But he just shows up for action sequences.
I don't mind it as much. The thing that kind of puts me off is that, yes, this is a Godzilla and a King Kong movie, but then Mechagodzilla is there as well. And like, looking at the idea of this movie, if you're going to remake a modern King Kong and Godzilla mashup, I feel like you should just have it them two. Have it be them two. I do like the direction it handed here, but it just feels a little off to me that Mechagodzilla's here as well.
What did you think about Serizawa's son piloting Mechagodzilla and joining the bad guys?
He
really should have fleshed him out a bit.
Yeah.
That's what you say, is super emo.
He's more emo than Millie Bobby Brown in season two of Stranger Things.
He's really emo. He's a man of few words. It doesn't even tell us properly that he's Serizawa's son. It just references his last name, Serizawa.
And it said like so fast that you can't, we had to go back and re-listen. We don't really hear anything about his motives other than the reveal that he's Serizawa's son. He really doesn't do anything too important in this movie.
But he's up. He's joined up with Apex, and Apex's whole thing is they're creating Mechagodzilla to kill Godzilla and become
the Alpha Titan.
The Alpha Titan, the Apex Titan, so humanity can rule the world once again. And I was doing some reading online, and Ren Serizawa, I think the character's called, Ren does have more motives than we're shown in this movie. They're just fleshed out more in the novelization. There's a lot about Serizawa neglecting his son and putting all his time into Monarch, and that's something that Ren really despised him for. He didn't like Monarch for how much it took his dad away from him. It's just a shame that they don't even talk about it at all.
Yeah,
but put Serizawa's son in the movie.
That being said, I do love everything with Mechagodzilla and how he ends up.
Yeah,
I think this is a fantastic design. I know that there are a lot of people out there who don't like it because it's such a deviation of the like the classic Mechagodzilla designs. I think it's super cool though.
How about that scene when he turns around?
Yeah, this is like my favorite, one of my favorite Mechagodzilla scenes.
King Ghidorah is fully in control of the body.
Maybe
one of the King Ghidorah heads is in control. Serizawa is not in control anymore. And it slowly turns around to Walter Simmons.
While he's, I love this idea of having a character who's giving a big monologue.
Yeah, it's even
more. And you're just like, this is awesome because it does not matter in the slightest. I run weekly D&D games.
Yeah.
And I give my villains big monologues. And I feel like Mechagodzilla is just all of my players, Jayzilla included, just trying to jump the gun and throw me off track.
You need something to happen during a monologue. Monologues don't just happen in real life.
Because of Mechagodzilla. No, but everything else with Mechagodzilla is great. I love his Skullcrawler fight, how he ends up defeating him.
Ripping it in two.
Ripping him in two.
Yeah.
Vertically.
Yeah.
And even, I don't know, I'm not the biggest fan of the idea of the King Ghidorah bone marrow telekinetic psionic link.
Yeah.
But I think that the decision to have him ending up as being controlled by kind of King Ghidorah is real cool.
Yeah.
And him in action, yeah, he's epic.
Well, let's talk about like the big fight scenes, right? Because the first one is when Godzilla, I mean, we got him attacking the Apex Cybernetics, big lab. It's pretty much just Godzilla going at it. Again, I love the colors. It takes a lot of the like oversaturated colors and even dials it up a bit more from Godzilla King of the Monsters. The blues whenever Godzilla shows up is so cool. But then we get Godzilla interrupting Kong when Kong's being brought over to the mainland on the boat. And we get this huge fight of them pretty much in the water most of the time. What did you think of that fight?
This fight's fantastic. I didn't even know this was going to happen. I literally haven't seen the trailer since the trailers first came out. But the idea of having like these two, what are they called? Not helicarriers.
Ships.
These two like plane platforms, runways, ocean runways. The idea of a fight happening on like two or three of these as the only pieces of land that Kong can fight from.
Jumping from ship to ship.
It's a it's a stellar idea for a fight between these two.
Makes it real dynamic, eh?
Mm.
I love the scene when Godzilla lets out an atomic breath that goes through one of the ships, and at the moment it like breaks the ship in two, Kong takes this massive leap into the water, I think.
It was like Die Hard leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow-mo.
You have a lot of references there. You have Godzilla like hooking one of the ships with his tail and Jaws fashion. You don't see him, but you see the ship coming across.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, if it weren't for Godzilla's breath, Kong would have devastated him. even in the sea.
It was cool seeing another. I always like it when it's like humans in ships while Godzilla's in the water.
Mm.
I just love that visuals, especially after seeing Minus One, right?
Yeah. You get some cool scenes as well where like you have a fighter pilot in a jet that Kong picks up and like paper plane throws it at Godzilla.
Yeah. There's some great music in this scene as well while it's going on. Junkie XL, I think, did the majority of the soundtrack. I really love his music. But yeah, great scene. I love that fight. And then we get the big fight, Godzilla versus Kong in Hong Kong.
Kong in Hong Kong.
Who would have thought it? The neon lights.
Yeah, this is nighttime neon, fully saturated. This is such a cool cityscape and idea for a fight location.
And you've got Godzilla letting out his atomic breath and it's slowly just cutting the buildings in half as Kong's trying to like run away.
He's running away. This is
dodging,
great.
Sliding, climbing. He's trying to get in close to Godzilla in those couple seconds Godzilla takes to charge his breath, and he's like deflecting it.
Yeah, he has his axe in this fight and he's like using that to absorb Godzilla's atomic breath and then fight back at him. There's a reference to the King Kong versus Godzilla Toho movie where, you know, in that movie how Kong shoves a tree in Godzilla's mouth.
Yeah.
You get him doing that with his axe as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the fight plays out in its entirety. Like, no cuts. Not like King of the Monsters when you've got quips and jabs here and there. It's pretty much just this extended fight scene of Godzilla versus Kong.
Mm.
And it's so cool. It looks awesome.
Yeah, you have so many cool moments in this as well. What, Godzilla going around on all fours?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple close-ups on Godzilla's face as well when he's like grinning almost when he's so sure that he's going to win the fight.
And Kong wins this fight.
He doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Godzilla cuts into Kong's chest.
No. That's Godzilla versus Kong fight number 3.
Barely.
This is fight number 2 where Kong wins by absorbing his atomic breath with the axe and then slamming the axe into his face.
Yeah, but Godzilla just like swivels around and comes right back.
Oh, he goes slamming into a building. He's down for the count. He falls unconscious.
Another real cool thing with these scenes is you see it go from night and the neon lights in the night to day and the neon fades. And it's a really creative way to almost create a second, different fight scene while still being in the same location.
Yeah, they're tricking us into making it seem like a different location.
It's like you're playing a fighting game and you've switched like the night and day settings on.
Yeah, it's great.
And then Mechagodzilla comes and you finally see
No, you have the third Godzilla versus Kong fight.
Yeah.
Where Godzilla does win, but Jaja, this is my stance once and for all. If Kong had any sort of power, he would instantly beat Godzilla. Godzilla needs his like atomic breath to beat Kong. Kong doesn't need any of that. And he still goes pretty much toe-to-toe with Godzilla.
I'm going to say something, and I think you're going to agree with me. It was the best decision they could have made to have Godzilla be the winner from Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes.
Godzilla's ultimately so much more powerful than Kong is. He's got his atomic breath. He's literally like a radioactive nuke.
Yep.
A big old monkey's unfortunately not going to go toe-to-toe with that well.
Mm.
Even though he tries his best.
Godzilla's like Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, but it was... I like how clever it is that with the plot, Godzilla's the obvious victor, but he gets taken out by Mechagodzilla almost instantly. And Kong, at the very end of the movie, has to be the one to save the day, save Godzilla, by helping him out to take down Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
So, like, Godzilla's the victor, but Godzilla would be dead if it wasn't for Kong.
I love how it throws up a lot of like questions in there still, because if it weren't for that original battle on the ocean, Kong and Godzilla, the outcome of that fight could have been different.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. Godzilla's pretty darn weak after that fight. He could have beat Mechagodzilla, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Just a whole lot of like other battles where there are just so many more factors in play than a straight fight.
Smart sequences on the lead up to the final fight, right?
The decision to revive Kong using electricity.
Yeah.
Little throwback to that first film.
Yeah, how he is dead in King Kong versus Godzilla until he gets lightning powers.
I don't know if this is how defibrillating Kong would work.
Exploding a heave on his chest.
Yeah, because would the... I think the current would travel down through the ground through his heart.
Hmm.
But it wouldn't create a circuit. Don't mind me, I'm just thinking physics.
You, as a nurse in the hospital, if some you didn't have a defibrillator but you had a heave, a miniature heave, would you risk it?
What am I, like Dr. Hank Pym carrying around a mini heave in my pockets?
Would you risk it?
Would I life risk or death? I mean, if somebody's dead, that's...
You'd be sued.
As a nurse, I do not want to say this on a podcast. As a registered nurse working for a company, no comment.
The Mechagodzilla fight's really cool. I love how creative they get with it. Mechagodzilla's a little jet propulsion, like things on his back that push his punches forward and put more weight behind them.
He feels like a full-on Pacific Rim mecha, and I love it. He's got so many capabilities. And so many like references that he does. One of my favorite moves is how he goes to like do the same movement that Godzilla does to the Muto in Godzilla 2014. He echoes that with Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Great stuff. My only detrimental thing I can say about this fight is that you don't get any good shots of Godzilla and Kong working together. Like in the same scene fighting him.
It's pretty much, yeah, Godzilla gets messed up by Mechagodzilla, is down for the count. Kong comes in and eventually defeats Mechagodzilla because from Godzilla's place on the ground, Godzilla was able to let atomic breath charge up Kong's axe, and Kong does the final blow.
Yeah, there's not a lot of overlap between the three of them.
No.
But I think it was like a super smart sequence regardless.
Yeah, and some real creative scenes. Once again, it lets the fight play out. But it changes up how we're viewing the fight. We're seeing it from inside a boardroom at one point.
That's right.
Mechagodzilla's hitting Godzilla into buildings, and the chairs and the like board table are moving within the building as each punch hits.
Mm.
And again, we see citizens of Hong Kong trying to escape as Mechagodzilla, we see it like from the alleyway as Mechagodzilla's running over top of them. And the final, like Kong tearing Mechagodzilla to shreds at the end. Cutting off his limbs, getting covered with oil, and then eventually ripping off his head and holding it up as a trophy.
Yeah. I don't quite know. I think I like the idea that Kong is the one who defeats Mechagodzilla.
With a charged up axe, courtesy of Godzilla.
Yeah.
But I agree. It flowed together real well. I like Mechagodzilla being in the movie.
I think for Mechagodzilla being in the movie, they did... like one of the best jobs they could.
Mm.
Also, shout out to that scene where Kong resets his dislocated shoulder by just smashing it into a building. Lot of cool shots here.
Yeah. I mean, we can get back into some final thoughts and other notes shortly. And before I pass over to you to trivia, do you have a favorite member of the cast, a favorite character?
Gia.
Gia?
Gia is fantastic. She is going to be in The New Empire, isn't she?
Yeah, Gia's returning.
Yeah.
Rebecca Hall's Eileen's returning. I don't think Dr. Nathan Lind is.
Bernie is.
I don't know who my favorite character was, to be honest. I didn't really like Maddie this time around. I thought Millie Bobby Brown wasn't as great as she was in Godzilla King of the Monsters. I quite liked Rebecca Hall, Eileen Andrews. I really love her connection and like how much she cares for Jaya.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
As like a playing out as a mother figure, leagues ahead of Emma in the last movie.
Yeah. Whoa, another level.
And I don't know why. I just think she seems like such a genuine carer, and you can, like, in every interaction she has, you can tell that she cares for both Gia and Kong.
Yeah, but it's a real shame, man. I'm disappointed with what they did with Mark Russell in this, because I really loved his character in Godzilla King of the Monsters. I feel like he had a great arc where it started off him hating Godzilla, and then by the end of the movie, he became the Serizawa type character where he could see Godzilla's place on the Earth, working alongside humans.
The mantle was kind of passed over to him in that sense.
Yeah, and he was all for letting the Titans do their thing and them work being with humans in harmony. But in this, Mark's role is he's pretty much a cameo. He's in like 2 minutes of the movie in total.
Mm.
And in the bits we see of him, it's like character assassination almost, because he hears Godzilla's attacked Apex and he turns on Godzilla instantly. He's like, man, people change, monsters change. We need to get people out of here. We need to stop Godzilla. Yeah. Whereas the Mark Russell I know from Godzilla King of the Monsters, he'll be like, well, there must be a reason Godzilla's doing this.
As someone who helped to create the orca in the last film, it's mind-blowing that he doesn't look any deeper into it, especially after the scene of him like in front of the screen underneath the water in that film.
Yeah.
Him being the one to turn around and being like, Godzilla isn't going to be antagonistic towards us if we aren't antagonistic mm-hmm. towards him. Yeah, very heavy character assassination there.
I don't know why he just doesn't look into why Godzilla's doing what he's doing. I don't know why he wasn't put with Maddie and Team Godzilla. I would have loved to see him bumbling, like being pulled into this huge conspiracy with them and Bernie, and he's like out of his league in this Apex laboratory.
And he's like the kind of straight man trying to organize not only the kids, but Bernie as well.
Yeah. That'd be such a great place to put him. So it's just such a shame. And did you have a favorite monster?
Titanus Doug, obviously. No, I think this movie is great for what it does with Kong. I think seeing this real sinister version of Godzilla, and finally after movies of him being kind of like a force of good, being this real antagonistic version of him in a certain light is fantastic. But I do think... Oh, yeah, I'll give it to Mechagodzilla for this one.
You loved him
just because I do love a good Mechagodzilla.
I do like the way he looks. I like his rotating hands.
Mm.
I like the piercing red eyes, the little spinny thing on his tail. It's a cool design.
It's a real cool design.
Where does it place in your Mechagodzilla designs, do you think?
Oh.
My Mechagodzilla designs probably go, my favorite's probably Kuryu.
I feel like this is a conversation for another day.
Oh, okay. We'll sit on it.
I'm making Godzilla rankings.
Okay. We'll sit on it.
Okay.
We'll sit on it. I really liked Godzilla in this, and I really liked Kong. I think they're both equal for me. They've done it perfectly, how they managed to portray both these monsters in this movie, how they each sparred off and then came to common grounds at the end. I did like the way the Warbats looked, those little serpentine flying things. Hopefully we see more of them in Godzilla X Kong.
Those stone crabs. The pebble crabs,
the
craggle
rock
crabs.
Rock critters.
They're great. you know what this movie does for me as well? I know that people were real hesitant and wary of the fact that, there was news released about Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, that Godzilla's screen time is severely less than Kong.
Yeah.
But this movie does as well, and it still feels like a crazy battle between the two.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any detriment to it. And especially the fact that we're going to be seeing quite a bit of Godzilla, I imagine, in the Monarch show very soon.
Yeah.
I think it's a real nice way to juggle screen time for both of those characters.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to potentially another Kong-centric movie.
I'm looking forward to it too. I'm in Adam Wingard's hands, the director of this. I really like his directing style. It's strange he's a director thinking about it, because his bread and butter was like found footage movies. He did a lot of the VHS stuff and Blair Witch, the Blair Witch remake, which both of us think's okay.
I can't remember it.
People hate it, but I think it's all right.
You know why they had him on as director?
Why?
Because he has a reputation for staying on budget and getting movies in on time.
Yeah. Hey. There we go. And he did it. He succeeded. And
he
now
succeeded.
He's doing the next one. Anyway, yeah, I'll hand over to you for trivia.
Hmm. I need a name for this trivia segment.
Oh, flip. There's no way we can do it.
Titana trivia. Titanus trivia. There's a gem in there somewhere.
All right. Keep workshopping it. Keep noodling.
So you mentioned it right at the start, trying to steal my screen time.
Mm.
But this movie actually had a lot of scenes and content cut out of it. Originally, it was the plan for there to be like 5 hours of filmed footage for this movie.
That's too much.
And I believe that there were 5 hours or so filmed of it. But that meant that there was just a lot that had to be cut down. Adam Wingard loves shorter movies.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to get this intentionally under 2 hours.
It is under 2 hours, right?
Yeah, it's under 2 hours. 1 hour, 52 minutes, I believe. But that meant that there were a lot of scenes that got cut. We had a few characters who had times that were cut in this movie. Kyle Chandler was one of them.
Yeah.
For Mark Russell. And
Lance Reddick?
Lance Reddick. His character, Gearman. They were supposed to have hugely more.
Hugely more. Yeah, I was reading on Wikizilla that Lance Reddick's character is actually supposed to be the director of Monarch. And that there was originally like a big opening boardroom scene with him, like establishing Monarch's mission.
We don't even get a note about who he is in this movie.
He's like sixth or seventh credited. He's in the opening credits. He's in it for probably 5 seconds.
I looked at him. I'm like, oh, there's Lance Reddick.
There he is.
He's in the title sequence. It's very, very weird.
Because I think there was Team Godzilla, Team Kong, and then almost Monarch as their own characters and own plotline going alongside those as well. Because there's more cut characters, right?
Yeah, well, there's going to be those on the Monarch side of things. We're going to see more in the movie of Ren Serizawa and his relationship with his father, potentially in flashbacks. There were going to be proper sequences of Alan Jonah, the villain from the last movie.
Whoa.
His forces being killed by Apex Cybernetics. While they're stealing the Ghidorah skull and the severed head from the last movie. Hey. And we were going to see more of Zhe Yijang, who was one of the like kind of spiritual successors to the Shobijin in the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a new character, Jessica Henwick. She plays the Iron Fist.
She plays Colleen Wing in Iron Fist. I am a defender of the Iron Fist TV show.
You're a defender of defenders?
I'm the defender of the defenders. She is the best part of it. I love Jessica Henwick. And I remember reading that she was going to be in Godzilla vs. Kong. And I was super excited only for every single scene with her to be cut. She was going to be playing a reporter who I think was going to be alongside the Monarch team or the Monarch group.
And it raises a lot of questions about like how would you have incorporated Zhe Yijang this.
Yeah.
Would you have any more Mothra connections? Because I do know as well that there was in the Titan comic a reason why some of the other Titans don't appear in this movie.
Oh.
There's something, and we'll see it when we cover it on the Patreon, about Ghidorah's brain still being out there and what Godzilla the heck? Having to order all the other Titans underground to safety
what
or something.
Okay. Wow.
We'll see it.
Yeah, it's baffling to me as well that like none of this footage is out there. Jessica Henwick obviously showed up on set, filmed her scenes.
Yeah,
like all these cut characters film their scenes. There's more Kyle Chandler out there, but it hasn't been released in special features. It's nowhere to be seen.
Can we get the Chandler cut?
That's what I want. Save his character for me. Don't do him dirty.
It'll redeem him.
Yeah.
Tom Holkenborg. He's the composer for this movie.
Junkie XL.
Junkie XL, is that him?
Yeah,
that's Junkie XL. Prior to this movie, he had already written music for Godzilla. Just for fun.
Had he?
Yeah.
Hey.
And while he was looking for roles, he mentioned to the director that he was a big fan of Godzilla, had already been making music for his own Godzilla verse of some sort. And he, quote, felt that they needed to use the biggest bass drum on the planet for this movie.
It worked.
And a few other fun things about behind the scenes as well. Adam Wingard suggests that during this whole movie, Godzilla is not worried for a second about losing against Kong.
You can tell with the way Godzilla acts and how he looks.
Yeah, he's real cocky.
The scenes when they're both like looking and roaring at each other's faces were pretty cool.
Yeah, he says that he's merely playing with the big ape, and I quote, "Look at him, he's smiling right here. He's having fun. Kong is not having fun." And he also said that one of his early thoughts upon taking the film was that he just wanted to see Godzilla and King Kong fighting in a synthwave neon city. And that was 100% his main drive for making this movie.
Yeah.
And he succeeded.
Such a cool, such an iconic scene now, I feel, for Godzilla in general.
Such, I'd even go so far to say that for fight sequences, kaiju and just any action sequences in movies, that's probably one of the most iconic locations for me.
One of the best fight sequences, full stop, action movies, potentially.
Potentially. I think it does justice for like the decades-long argument of who would win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think both sides put up a good fight.
Me too.
And I am happy.
Are we shaking hands right now? Are we?
Yeah.
Are we dissolving the...
I'm happy that...
What are you happy about?
Sorry, I'm not going to say I'm happy because I'm not happy, but... I will admit,
yeah,
that I'm okay with Godzilla winning like this for this one.
Okay,
as long as you admit that he would be dead without Kong.
Yeah,
you're crossing your fingers right now. Get out of that.
What? No,
not happy that
we dissolved the rivalry between Team Godzilla and Team Kong.
Are you saying you're not happy that Godzilla won? You want Kong to win. You're a secret Team Kong fan, aren't you? I knew it. You've got a gleam in your eye.
Do you have any more trivia? Do we...
No.
Okay. Well,
Jayshree, you have to face the consequences.
No, I genuinely think it was such a cool way to reintroduce these characters, reintroduce the rivalry, and it was a great conclusion.
Yeah. A lot of references as well. Kong being kind of ballooned in by helicopters.
Giant net.
A giant net. Yeah. Big movie for both Godzilla fans and Kong fans alike.
Yeah. Do you want to take us into final thoughts? I mean, I think we're there. We might have some notes each to get through, but you can start us.
No, you can start us.
No, you can start us off.
You want me to start us off?
Yeah, you go for it.
Cool. Last note here is that this is my second favorite movie with both Kong and Mechagodzilla in.
Because you're thinking about Ready Player One.
Mm.
Would you prefer to this movie?
Wait, no, it's my first favorite. Should I have a second? Sheesh. Okay. Let me restate that.
Okay.
I'll get a clean one for the real episode.
Okay, yeah.
Give me some time. Give me some time.
Yep.
This is my favorite movie where Kong and Mechagodzilla are characters.
Cool.
Cool. You're going to use that one?
Yeah, I'll use it.
Thanks. Thanks, man. No, I was real hesitant coming into this. I think that, especially for Adam Wingard, the Herculean task of finally making another King Kong versus Godzilla movie, it's going to be so hard to do, no matter which way you cut it. But I feel like the ideas that he chose of incorporating the Hollow Earth and Kong's history, as well as Godzilla's real sinister nature, instead of having him be like another good protagonist the entire time, and I dare say even the inclusion of Mechagodzilla, it gives this film such a unique place in the Godzilla history of things. I think it just gets me excited for the Monsterverse more than anything. I'd say even more so than King of the Monsters did.
Yep.
From here on out, you've got a landscape which we have never seen before in Godzilla movies, where both Kong and Godzilla are key characters. And this movie builds the Monsterverse up even more with some classic characters. Kyle Chandler, even though he was character assassinated.
I forgot to say Doug. Go on.
And Doug. Classic characters like Doug. No, but it brings in some new ones going forward that I'm super hopeful that we see again. Rebecca Hall and Kaylee Hoddle's characters. Huge standouts for me. Yeah, so many good parts. I will say that I did not like quote-unquote Team Godzilla as much.
Yeah.
But I will say that for a movie with so many monsters at play, it is only fitting that it is a Kiwi who saves the day.
Yeah.
Julian Dennison, Josh Valentine.
Josh Valentine.
Repping New Zealand.
I remember that name.
Hard.
Mm.
Yep. I'm going to give this movie... Oh, I'm on record for saying this.
Yeah.
I like that Doug's in this movie. But I'm confident that we'll see him in at least 4 movies going forward in the MonsterVerse.
If there were 5 MonsterVerse movies, you'd think you'd be in...
At least like 4 out of 5 of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going through my notes here. I really like how it started with, Kong waking up on Skull Island, his home, kind of swinging around doing his morning routine, and the whole movie ends with him in his new home doing the exact same thing in the Hollow Earth, kind of swinging around doing his little routine there. I also love the intro credits that all the MonsterVerse films have, the redacted typeface with flashbacks to the previous movies. It just gets you so hype. Like that starts, you're like, man, I'm ready. Oh, and I love how Dr. Nathan Lind is trying his best to like warm Jaya up to him throughout the movie. And he tries to learn a little bit of sign language as she signs that he's a coward.
This is a great joke.
And it's a great, like, a great conclusion to the joke where he's saying this really emotional speech to her about how brave she is, how much courage she has. And he thinks that that coward word means brave. And he's like doing it very heartfelt, saying, you were a very brave little girl, but he's just calling her a coward. Well, she's cracking up. I thought it was funny. And all of Hong Kong is just gone after this movie, right?
Yeah, there are totally people in this city.
We saw them running throughout it. Like some of them are evacuated, but
mass casualties across the board.
Huge hole down to the Hollow Earth. Just every single building in ruins. Radiation off the charts too.
Yeah. You know, in the first Godzilla movie, how we saw... I forget which city it was, but the one that had been like turned into a nuclear wasteland that Bryan Cranston and his son go through in the hazmat suits. This is going to be Hong Kong for like the next 100 years.
No one's going back to Hong Kong. And then, last just like final thought is that in a lot of Kong scenes, they brought over the yellow color grading from that movie.
From Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, from Kong Skull Island. And something I just love that they did in general is I think they... perfectly mixed the tones of Kong Skull Island and Godzilla King of the Monsters and found a real nice middle ground. It still has some comedy. It's still fun, has fun visuals. It has a lot more needle drops, which I think it took over from Kong Skull Island. That movie had a lot of songs, which I actually liked in this. And it has a bit less humans to care about overall, more over the top, like uncut action scenes. I think it learnt from the MonsterVerse movies before it and managed to bring Godzilla and Kong's unique flavors while kind of cementing this as the MonsterVerse movie. Like if every MonsterVerse movie feels the way this does, pacing-wise, vibes-wise, look-wise, I'm all on board. And it looks like that's what Adam Wingard's trying to do with Godzilla X Kong.
Mm.
Just keep up this... not campy, but like just fun, goofy, like action-packed feel to it.
I do think that the MonsterVerse is in safe hands.
Yeah, me too.
I would even go as so far as to say that I know so many people saw the recent trailers for the new Empire and say that the MonsterVerse is just going full Jun Fukuda and campy and out there and wacky, no grounding in reality. I would still say that this movie and even the next movie, I'd say that they still seem pretty realistic. And I'm looking forward to crazy, serious movies out of this next one.
Yeah, I think when I say goofy, I'm thinking more like there's literally a team of people going into the center of the earth and taking it as seriously as possible. Like it's more the
whole... Have you seen Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Yeah, but it's
that is a serious movie.
Every idea, every concept in this movie is just so wacky and wild, but they take it like seriously and they play it seriously.
They play it straight.
which makes it even more fun. But there's some glaring things wrong with it. I didn't like Millie Bobby Brown in this. I didn't like Kyle Chandler, which I usually love the guy. It was just a shame what they did with both of those characters. They probably didn't even need them in the movie.
Yeah. Maybe if he had a mustache.
Kyle Chandler with a mustache? Yeah. The podcast gang didn't really work. Even though I like Alexander Skarsgård, his character did feel pretty bland at the end of the day.
He was supposed to be a lot more fleshed out and have a lot more ties to like him loving 80s movies.
Really?
There's supposed to be scenes of him watching Lethal Weapon and Back to the Future.
Really?
There was a remnant of that. He had his red vest, which was supposed to mirror Marty McFly.
Yeah.
But there wasn't any real connection for that.
That'd have been cool. Give him a bit of character. And yeah, at the end of the day, like, I love Mechagodzilla, but the whole connection to King Ghidorah and Serizawa's son is just such a weird thing for them to put in the movie and not give any context around.
Yeah.
Like, just, hey, here's this dude. Here's this whole thing. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a shame. But I'm gonna predict that out of the next five MonsterVerse movies, Titanus Dark is going to be in four of them.
Okay, yeah.
Four out of five. I think this is better than Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yes, agreed.
I still prefer Kong Skull Island, I think.
I think I still prefer Godzilla.
Really? So there you go. But I think it's genuinely such a fun movie.
Are we saying that I'm Team Godzilla and you're Team Kong?
Wait, whoa.
We might need to shake hands again.
What is happening to us? Can we, this episode done?
Are we going to go back to the Discord after this and take over the other teams?
We should. But anyway, let's get to some of what you guys thought. Let's get into some of our listeners' thoughts and emails and messages. And I'll start off here with an email we received from GM. GM's first time emailing us, I think. GM says, "You know, I've never been one to really love the MonsterVerse, but I gotta say this film was great for the simple reason that Kong gets his hairy ass handed to him. Long live Godzilla. Death to the smelly ape. Down what? With Millie Bobby Brown." And GM gives Godzilla vs. Kong 5 dead monkeys out of 5.
Because Kong, what did you say? What's this about smelly butts?
He's a smelly ape. He showers.
He showers.
He
bathes. Probably more clean than you, GM.
He has a better morning routine than I do.
He doesn't have a bleach bath, though.
No, that's the one thing he could improve is cut out all tap water because there's a lot of taps on Skull Island and just take bleach baths. Yeah.
We also have Froget messaging in saying, "This movie is such a blast. I'm a big MonsterVerse fan already, but I might just like this one more than King of the Monsters. The brutality of both monsters is jaw-dropping, and the only negative I have for this one is the Godzilla side of the human cast. Brony is fun, but the kids drag it down for me." You better not be talking about Josh Valentine there.
Gosh.
"The Kong side has some of my favorite characters in the MonsterVerse, and on top of all of this, we get Mechagodzilla. I never thought we'd see him in the MonsterVerse, and I'll admit this Will's technology is a bit over the top, but I think he's a great opponent for the two boys to go up against. 4 out of 5 aircraft carriers sliced in half by Godzilla's dorsal fins." That was a mouthful. Froget, I appreciate your rating system.
Yeah, that was great. Him slicing those aircraft. They're aircraft carriers, Micah. Thank you, Froget. They're not helicarriers.
Aircraft carrier. Oh, yes, that's what they're called.
Aircraft carriers. We have a voice message next from Ryan Does.
Ryan?
Ryan, let's give this a listen.
What does he do?
"Okay, Drake boys, let's make one thing crystal clear. I am a proud member of Team Kong, and this film is a slanderous representation of the one true king. Kong's a more versatile fighter, he's more intelligent, he improvises his weapons, he's able to adapt to different surroundings. Oh, and he doesn't rely on one single finishing move to finish his fights. Team Kong, all the way. Though the one true king did take the L in the long run against this prehistoric pretender, this movie is really good fun. Monster mashup with enough insanity to keep your attention. I do love the relationship between Kong and Gia. It's fantastic. It's simple and effective. The action is focused on a smaller selection of monsters this time around, which I enjoy. All in all, I give Godzilla vs. Kong a solid 4 out of 5 bottles of bleach. All hail the king, the one true king, Kong."
I appreciate the Team Kong representation, Ryan.
Me too.
The best team to go with here.
Hey, I thought we'd...
Unless...
I thought we'd agreed.
Wait, no, the worst team.
Yeah,
we're
switching sides?
Yeah.
What a mic Ryan has as well. You can tell that Ryan is a podcaster.
You can. Cheshire, we have another last message here. It's in Morse code.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me translate this real quick. It's from Slim City.
Wait, we're getting a message from Slim City right now.
Hell yeah. Still one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Godzilla's lair from the last one and then the Hollow Earth stuff have me drooling. It all looks sick as hell, and I want to know more about the backstory of each and their history. Also, the special effects here are insane. Hong Kong got freaking wrecked. Like all of the legendary Godzilla movies, the human stories are the worst, but this one is the least worst so far. Finally, just watch the teaser for the next one, and Wingard is back, and it's Hollow Earth lore. Let's go. 5 out of 5 from Slim City.
Slim. Slim City, thank you for sending us that review.
Good to hear us. The city is still surviving and thriving.
Yeah. Breeding, some would say.
Some would say. Jason, that's all of our messages for this one.
Hey, thanks for sending in your thoughts, guys. As always, you can contact us, podzillapod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Jason, I've got a little teaser for the next episode of Podzilla, the show.
Go for it, man.
Jason, next week we're going to be covering Godzilla Singular Point.
The anime Netflix series.
That's right.
The whole show.
The whole show.
In one episode.
In one episode.
Woo.
Face Down, a Hopeless Future. Brought together by a mysterious song, a grad student and an engineer lead the fight against an unimaginable force that may spell doom for the whole world. I've heard a lot about this, Jasha.
Mm.
I've wanted to watch this ever since we started the show, but I've held off.
Yeah.
But the big thing, so we have a returning guest for this one.
Do we? Oh my goodness.
Jasha. Hamish.
Hamish Skelton, my best friend.
Your best friend.
Who famously joined us seasons and seasons ago now for Son of Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
When he was like, hey guys, I love Son of Godzilla. Let me come on for the Son of Godzilla episode. And then we record with him and he drops a 2 out of 5 star rating for Son of Godzilla.
Apparently he loves this show even more.
He's probably going to come on the show next week and drop
2.5.
One star. I wouldn't put it past
even worse. And that when we had him on for that Son of Godzilla episode, did he just have his first child?
Yeah, I think he did.
He's had another child since
Multiple
then.
Children.
And as you all know, with children comes extra wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. He's officially he'll be the wisest one on the podcast.
Yeah.
The dad. Podzilla's official dad. We're going to call a dad and
phone a friend. Our dad wasn't able to make it, so we've got the next best thing.
Hamish. So yeah, watch Singular Point. It is on Netflix. It's a show, but I think the episodes are 20 minutes long each, so it's pretty reasonably fast watch.
Pretty palatable.
I can't wait to watch it.
This is one with a lot of references to the other adjacent shows that we've covered. And it's quite interesting because the focus on this one isn't necessarily Godzilla, more so Jaguar.
Jaguar makes his return from Godzilla Island.
Since his last appearance in Godzilla Island.
So yeah, Hamish is joining us. If you have any questions for Hamish, we'd love to ask him.
If you have any questions about parenthood,
if you haven't,
please send them in.
Please. Ask any questions you want a dad to answer. But Micah, I think that's us. Are we? We're swapping teams.
I think we need to. I think I rejuvenated vigor for Team Godzilla.
The conflict is back up, but I'm Team Kong now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I think I need to lead Godzilla to a victory. I know how hard it is to fight Kong because he's so awesome, but I'm going to try to give Team Godzilla a fighting chance.
Michael, let's be real. The weakest humans from Godzilla versus Kong, probably the weakest aspect of the movie, Team Godzilla.
Team Mechagodzilla.
That's all I'm going to say.
Team Mechagodzilla.
All I'm going to say.
Thanks for listening to Podzilla. Join our Discord server, tag us on Letterboxd, and follow us on our socials at PodzillaPod. The links are all in our show notes. If you're looking to help support the show and fund more adventures on Monster Island, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla to get access to extended cuts of every episode and the occasional bonus app. Big shout out to Cassie Celine for our seasonal podcast art, and a quick disclaimer that all music and additional audio used in this episode belong entirely to the Turbo Company. Jaysha's veins are just filled with coffee.
They are.
Specifically Boss.
Just Boss. Just Boss. Not a coffee drinker, but if it's a Boss coffee.
Jaysha goes to a CEO at work and he's like, excuse me, I'm the boss here.